Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
I don't know, quite know how this happened, but Abby's coloring paper got put in my printer this morning, so if you're seeing beautiful pictures while I'm turning my notes, I think Julie planted it in there before she left, but I haven't had a chance to talk to her about that. Yeah, I'm all decked out this morning, so, man, oh, Lord, praise God, yes. Treasures in these earthen vessels. All right. Well, this morning, we're going to start with a passage in 1 Samuel. And this is a story about David and just some, you know, an event that happened to him. And, you know, a lot of times we kind of ask ourselves, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And a lot of times the bigger answer is, what do good people do when bad things happen to them? And we're going to find out a situation here this morning, and I think we can really learn from it as well, too. 1 Samuel chapter 30, in verse 1, it says, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the men with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Praise God. We sang that very first song this morning, "I will boast in the Lord my God." David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now think about this. You know, David's family has been taken captive, carried away, along with all of his men. And obviously they don't know what's happened, what's going to happen. As the story goes here, they actually, David is encouraged himself, he strengthens himself in the Lord. Then the Lord speaks to him, tells him to go and pursue him. He pursues him. They get all their family back. Nobody is killed. Pretty amazing story of deliverance. But that story may not have had that happy of an ending had David not done what he did in verse 6. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And again, we know it ends happy, but you get in the middle of the story and you think right here, these guys are having to use their imaginations in terms of what might have happened to their families. And David in particular, as he's already grieving the potential loss of his family, is now having to deal with the threat on his life. So this is some real compounded circumstances that David is having to go through. And what does he do? He encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And I thank God for people. I thank God for the body of Christ. I thank God for the encouragement that I get from people, from you. You guys are wonderful in encouraging me and building me up and strengthening me, and I'm so grateful for that. But there are times when, you know, the encouragement and the comfort that you experience through people can only go so far. And there are times when you need to encourage yourself in the Lord, where there's a direct contact in that secret place where it's God ministering things to you, where you are ministering to the Lord and getting encouraged in the Lord. And that's what I just want to minister along the lines of this morning, is simply encouraging yourself encouraging yourself in the Lord. If you've walked this walk with the Lord for very long, you realize that there's an adversary, there's an enemy. You know, we'll kind of sum it up real quickly and say the flesh, the world, and the devil. You know, we say that so succinctly, but yet each one of those has a very powerful, impactful influence on our lives that we have to deal with. The flesh, of course, is our own appetites and things that we deal with by having one of these bodies that is still, you know, in the fallen state of sin. So we got to deal with this thing. We got the pressure of the world, you know, that is continually mocking and undermining our faith in Christ. And then if that isn't enough, we've got the Bible says, your adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And of course, the devil isn't somebody in a pitchfork or isn't a real physical lion, but spiritual forces, you know, in the world we live in that drive and put pressure on the mind to do wrong, destructive things. And so you've got this three-tiered battle going on. And sometimes it feels like, man, if it's not one thing, it's another. And you're going through life and you're endeavoring to live for God and love God. And there are going to be times when, you know, when you're in the race that you need to take that pit stop. And you need to come alongside and be able to say, okay, here we go. Lord, I'm not here to fix anything. I'm not here to ask for anything. I'm just here to simply encourage myself in the Lord. And so many times, if we can just understand how to take those respites and come aside and just get built up and strengthened, because sometimes your friends are there, sometimes they're not there. Sometimes your friends want to stone you. And like, you know, David's friends there, just they didn't care, they didn't get you. But I'll tell you one thing, no matter who gets you, who doesn't get you, God loves you, God is for you, and he's with you. And so this morning we're going to talk about encouraging yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, one of the first aspects that we need to be aware of as we're encouraging ourselves in the Lord is, number one, remember what God has already done. Remember what God has done for you already. Here's a great little admonition, and this is found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 35 says, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." I love that initial admonition there. Recall the former days in which you were illuminated. Here's the same passage, and this is in the Message, puts it this way. Remember those early days after you first saw the light? Those were hard times. Kicked around in public, targets of every kind of abuse. Some days it was you, other days your friends. If some friends went to prison, you stuck by them. If some enemies broke in and seized your goods, you let them go with a smile, knowing they couldn't touch your real treasure. Nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. So, don't throw it all away. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. Okay. What is the Hebrew writer saying here? He's saying, recall to remembrance. You know, the Bible admonishes us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, the reason why we're admonished to be strong in the Lord is because it's possible to be weak in the Lord. It's not that the Lord doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I can be strong in the Lord, or I can be weak in the Lord. Spiritual things can be very real to me, or spiritual things can be very distant to me. And I don't care how long you've walked with God. Spiritual things can be real to you, and spiritual things can be distant to you. And one of the things that we've got to realize is that we have a big part to play. I mean, we really have the role to play in terms of being strong in the Lord. And one of the ways that we're strong in the Lord, that we can encourage ourselves, strengthen, is remembering the early days. And then here's one more, the Amplified simply puts it this way. But be ever mindful of the days gone by in which, after you were first spiritually enlightened, you endured a great and painful struggle. So what does that look like in real life as far as just remembering, recalling the days when you were first spiritually enlightened. Of course, it goes back to just remembering. You know, sometimes even in the book of Revelation, he said to a church, return to your first love. Sometimes we just need to stop and remember the fact, you know what, I have been saved. I have been saved by grace through faith. And remember, not just remember the theology of it, but remember in your own life what that was like when you experienced the grace of God for the first time. The first time. Recall the former days when you were first illuminated. That word illuminated comes from the word that we get our word photography or flash. It's like a flash of light. It's like a flash of light that made an impression. You know, you hear people, one believes this, another person believes that. But when God shows you something, there's an illumination. You got something from God, and you know it's a God thing. Remember those days. We're talking about encouraging yourself in the Lord this morning. Remember those times. For me, I was at a Nikki Cruz crusade when I received Christ. And I remember going back into a lunchroom and praying a prayer. And the guy asked me if he wanted to pray for me, if that was all right. And I said, you know what, that's fine. I want to pray. I know Jesus. You know, I just began to pray and receive Christ into my heart. But what I remember is after I came out of that lunchroom is just the sense of my sin being forgiven and cleansed. And it was like I actually felt lighter on my feet. You know how sometimes we'll describe something as being surreal? Well, this was a good surreal. It was like a sense of, wow, I am connected to God. His peace and His grace and His forgiveness has cleansed me. And I felt so, I mean, like I literally felt lighter on my feet. Like there was this burden that was gone. I remember that. I can go back in my mind's eye and put myself to that point in time and experience the grace of God and just sense and remember when I was illuminated, when Spirit, that was real to me. There are times, too, in your life, not only at the point of salvation, but times in your life that you can kind of replay. Well, maybe things where you experienced other truths of God's Word where they became real to you. Another time for me, too, when I remember kind of walking down the hallway in a certain place, and I was just beating myself up, you know, mentally and, you know, just condemning myself and just like, oh, man, I remember saying this to myself. You know, we talked about you have the flesh, the world, and the devil. Your flesh, there's a battle for identification that goes on between the Spirit of God and the Word of God, who you are in Christ, and the impulses and the appetites and the desires of your flesh. And you begin to identify with one or the other. And so I remember, thank God we have the Holy Spirit. And I was just walking down the hallway, and I just remember thinking of something, just you know, where I missed it, and I just remember saying it aloud to myself, well, I guess that's just who I am. And the Spirit of God just shook me and said, that's not who you are. And that scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, just leaped to my heart. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And this is, it's an interesting thing. A lot of times what will happen when you get like a little vision of something spiritually, you'll kind of hear something, you'll see something and hear something. That's kind of the way it's worked with me. But I remember hearing that in my spirit. No, you are new. And I remember seeing in my mind's eye, it was like a picture of seeing me, the new creation in Christ Jesus, seeing the clean, pure, righteous spirit that God made me when I got born again. Born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. See, the new birth isn't just a stamp that you get on your outside to identify yourself. The new birth is a spiritual experience that absolutely changes your human spirit to be a child of God. It's not theology that I'm holding. There's a tangible change on the inside of a person. You become brand new. And I remember seeing that. Wow. I mean, that was theology to me for a while, but I saw who I am. It was like it's hard to explain, but it was like it was glory. It was a beautiful, white, bright, and I remember seeing this is the Ed House on the inside that God has made. And He just said, that's you. And then here's the word that I got in my heart after I saw that. The words came to me. He said, you'll notice that thing that you think is the real you. He said, that was coming at you from the outside. And that's what sin does. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I delight in the word of God according to the inward man, but I find another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, trying to bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The law of sin isn't in your spirit. It's in your body. And it wars against your mind as an invitation. And I kind of knew that theologically. So technically speaking, I really am brand new, even though I have these wrong desires. Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Powerful theology. But there was a day when I was illumined to that fact. I saw it. And it's something that nobody could take or get out of me for anything. It was like that flash photography where I was illumined. And I'll tell you, there are times in my mind, too, where I'll go back and I'll remember former days, incidences, where God has revealed specific truth to my mind. God may have revealed some things to you about provision, where there was a time where God just said, you know what, do this, give this. And then he showed you and he blessed you back in return in amazing ways. And you go, wow, okay, I'm jotting that down. God, yes, you are faithful. You know, and this is kind of the really where it's powerful too, when you're believing God for things, asking God for things, to have a little blessing book sometimes where you're journaling the answers to your own prayer requests. You would be amazed at how much your prayers are answered. You know, it's incredible how faithful God is, and to go back. Or even sometimes, here's another great way to encourage yourself in the Lord. If you keep a little journal of spiritual, like a spiritual diary, of things that the Lord has spoken to your heart. Go back and read some of those things. You'll go, wow, this is really good stuff. Hey, that's what I've known. I knew that 5 years ago. What? That's what I need today. It's an amazing thing how there are times you can be strong in the Lord, weak in the Lord, but we're talking about encouraging yourself in the Lord, recalling the former days when you were first illuminated, recalling days when God has shown you things, spoken to your heart. These are powerful ways that God can use to stir us up and cause us to remember and recall those good things. Praise God. Here's just a quick little summary, too, of how in the Old Testament we see the psalmist, kind of the way he phrased it. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. And so what is the psalmist saying? He said, look, remember what God has done. Here's just another quick little psalm example of this. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. You know, what is that? That is the psalmist recounting and remembering the faithfulness of God in the midst of his difficult circumstance, saying, God did this. He brought me through some things. And again, this is some things that we're doing. We're remembering what God has already done. Are there some Red Seas in your life that you can look back and say, God got me through that? Are there some Pharaoh's armies that you got delivered from? I remember as a kid watching Moses and the Ten Commandments. And I'd see it. You know, it's, you know, the late 50s, the special effects were, I think that movie might have even won a special effects award that year. It was like the cutting edge stuff of turning the sea red. You know, and then you see the hail and the fire fall from the sky, and of course the dramatic scene where, you know, Charlton Heston sticks out the staff as Moses and the Red Sea splits, and it's just really amazing. And you know, you get toward the end of the movie and they get past, they finally get free from the Egyptians so they can worship their God. They get past all that, and what do? They start partying like the Egyptians. I mean, they were just as, you know, they built a golden calf. You know, they began to worship the calf and say, the calf delivered us from all this stuff. And they were just as bad as the Egyptians. And I thought, man, look at all the things that God did for them to show him. And they're, you know, they're, Moses is up in the, you know, getting the law, and they're just discouraged and they kind of give up and they just thought, we have no more direction. And that quickly, within 40 days, they turned and forgot all the good things that God had done for him. Threw in the towel and began to just live like the world. I remember praying about that while I was watching that movie and saying, Lord, how could they do that? You got to be careful when you ask the Lord questions like that. Because I just knew by the Spirit, you know, how can I do that? Talk about encouraging yourself in the Lord. When you're ready to throw in the towel, you got to replay the special effects of your own life. Replay the special effects of some of the events of the things that you were delivered from. Boy, that if, you know, just a little bit different, could have turned out very different. In your life, in your finances, in your relationships, different things. It's powerful to recall the former days. We're talking about encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Say, you know what, Lord, you have brought me through a lot. You have delivered me from a lot. What is this situation? I'm going to throw in the towel for this? No. God, you've been faithful to me. And so you're building a case. You're encouraging yourself in the Lord, though. This is where you're doing it, and you're bringing it to your own remembrance and saying, yes, God, you were faithful then, and you will be faithful now. Also, not only that, but remembering what God will do. Remembering what he has done, and remembering what he will do. 1 Peter 3:5 puts it this way. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I love that passage of Scripture. You know, when I'm needing to be encouraged in the Lord, sometimes you just need to get about 40,000 feet in the air and get the bird's eye view. You need to get the divine perspective. Okay, where is all this going in my life? Well, it has a very happy ending. There is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's my future. That's my destiny. That's where I'm going. Heaven. Future. That's exciting. You know, I just visited my dad this weekend to just spend some time with him. He's in a nursing home, and he suffered from a few strokes. And, you know, just taking some time to really connect with him and to minister to him. And it was just always, it's always so precious, because I know God just shows up in such a sweet way, and I'm able to communicate with him, and he responds, you know, from the heart. It's emotional, but it's good. And it was just really a good time and just a good time of fellowshipping with my dad. But as I was leaving, I just happened to walk by the wing of the nursing home that my mom had passed away in about a year ago. And I just thought, you know, I'm just kind of curious. And I just kind of walked back there. And sure enough, the room was vacant. You know, there was nobody in there. And I just kind of walked in there and just thought, you know, this is the place where my mom departed to be with Christ. And I was just remembering and just thinking about that time. And I was amazed. I guess I was a little surprised at just how non-nostalgic it was for me. Because, you know, really, I mean, it was not that it was good. I felt like it was a good thing to do to just kind of remember. But I just remember thinking, wow, the reason why that room was so special back then is because she was there. She was in it, you know. But then her spirit left her body. She departed. She was with Christ, which is far better. And I just remember thinking kind of future, thinking hope reserved in heaven for me. And I just remember thinking, you know what? Praise God, I am looking forward to seeing my mom again. You know, sometimes when we're down here, I don't know if you've done it, maybe you have, but you maybe get a friend or your spouse or whatever you want to do, and you might be thousands of miles away, and you say, okay, well, at midnight, be looking at the moon at a certain time, and you're kind of knowing that even though you're all those miles away, the gap of the distance, you're at some point, sometime, kind of doing the same thing. And you're just something like that, that you find a certain sense of encouragement or comfort in, you know, or feeling a connection to. And, you know, as we worship the Lord and you experience the presence of God like we did this morning, and you're in the presence of God and your focus is on Him and the reality of His love and grace for you, worshiping God in the presence of God is very much kind of like that. In the same way, looking at the moon at the same time bridges the gap between those thousands of miles or whatever they might be. When I think of my mom and I'm worshiping the Lord, knowing that she's worshiping in the same presence I'm worshiping in, the presence of God has a way of bridging the gap between here and the third heaven, because it's the exact same presence of God. It's something that we're both doing at the same time and experiencing together. And I was just thinking about just being encouraged of what's out there, what's to come. There is an amazing inheritance reserved in heaven for you. And think about that. When you're worshiping God, your loved ones, those who have gone on before you, you're having that commonality. You have that common bond together in the presence of God. God is with you, but that same spirit, that same joy of the Lord, same joy unspeakable and full of glory, remembering what God will do, encouraging yourself in the Lord. There is an inheritance reserved in heaven for you that does not fade away. 2 Peter 1 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Okay? There are tremendous promises in the Word of God that have been given to us. And we spend a lot of time at Door of Life talking about the promises of God and the importance of incorporating the promises of God into our everyday life. Because, you know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means that I'm living by it. It's not just theology that I'm defending and fighting for. It's something that's actively living, coming out of my life. It's the sword of my spirit. It's the thing that I'm thinking about. It's the thing that I'm acting on. And a lot of times when you think about the promises of God and think about them in our life, there is something that has to happen to those promises in our lives. And I'm going with 2 Peter chapter 1. He kind of goes on to say, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things," which is one of the things he just got done talking about, the promises, "though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent," he's talking about his physical body, "just as our Lord Jesus showed me." The Lord Jesus prophesied of the death that he would die. "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." You know, that's Peter. He was just thinking out ahead. He knew that he was about ready to depart to be with Christ, but he wanted to stir them up before he left, some parting words, to remember that they had these amazing, great, and precious promises. But he said, I'm gonna stir you up. I'm gonna cause you to remember these things. When it comes to the promises of God, and we're talking about encouraging yourself in the Lord, we can sometimes get tricked a little bit here because we know stuff. We know things. In fact, I'll tell you what, you'd be surprised if you came up here how much you could really teach and explain yourself based on the stuff that's already on the inside of you. You are full, many of us are just full with the promises of God, with amazing, tremendous theology, different things like that. But what we're talking about here is encouraging yourself in the Lord and having those promises actively, presently working in your mind and in your life. And one of the great analogies I've heard as it relates to this is if, let's just say it's starting to warm up now, but let's pretend, or, you know, we're a little gun-shy, aren't we? I'm a little, yeah, all right, it's getting there. We had a frost alert the other night, but we're getting there. It's almost June, so hopefully we'll be through our frost alerts another week or so. But, you know, imagine, if you will, it's about another 20 degrees, and it's starting to get warm and hot out there. I mean, one of the things that I love on a warm, hot summer sunny day is lemonade. You know, it's just kind of one of my little favorite things. And, you know, if I was to, have a great big pitcher of lemonade here, and you were to see this pitcher of lemonade, but all you really saw was this big mound of powder on the bottom and kind of some clear, maybe a little tinted water on top. Is it the kind of thing you'd want to drink? No, it isn't. You would see the potential there for a very wonderful, refreshing drink. But there's something that you've got to do first. You got to get the big old wooden spoon in there, whatever you use, and you got to stir it up. And you got to get those things really blended together, and then you've got something you can drink. And sometimes what can happen to us is we can be full of promises and theology and great truth, but it's kind of sitting there like a pile of powder on the inside of us. And our mind is kind of like clear, maybe dim water of depression, feeling worthless, spiritually void of any content. And ultimately what has to happen is your pure minds have to get stirred up. You have to remember. It's good that you got it. You want the powder. I mean, at least you got the powder in there. But there's going to be a stirring up of those promises of God to where you begin to get in your conscious thinking and memory, wow, praise God. Yes, if God is for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And God will, yes, He will supply all my needs. I will seek first the kingdom of God. He will add these things to me. Future, God will, God can. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, have I? No, I haven't. But power, love, and a sound mind. It's not just sitting powder now. It's actively being mixed with my present thoughts of now. And it's actively in me, stirring up. I'm getting encouraged in the Lord. I'm getting in the course, not only of what He has done, but what He is doing now and what He will do. The Word doesn't change. The Spirit doesn't change. God doesn't change. I'm the one who's going to determine whether I'm strong in the Lord, stirred up, or whether I'm weak in the Lord with the powder sitting in the bottom. And that's what I'm doing when I'm beginning what we call confession. What is confession? Confession is stirring the water and the powder. It's stirring up the truth of God's Word and getting it actively flowing through your mind. And that's where Romans 8 says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can have great theology and be carnally minded and it be a wreck. It's not good enough to have good theology and know the promises. It's being spiritually minded, actively, mentally participating in those truths and those promises. And I've had those experiences like, wow, praise God, that's true. The devil is a liar. God's word is true. There is an enemy, like we said, that goes about as a roaring lion. Roaring lion. Roaring. Roaring thoughts of depression. Roaring thoughts of fear. Roaring thoughts of rejection. But thank God we can resist him steadfast in the faith. We can declare who he is. I've had those moments where I've had like, wow, yeah, wait now. It's almost like that old commercial where you say, wow, I could add a V8. You know, you had something else? It's like, wow, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Wow, I haven't been given a spirit of fear, have I? No, I haven't. But power, love, and a sound mind. There is an active stirring up of ourselves in those promises of God. And this is something that we need to know, we need to hear, because I don't care how much more you know, how much you learn, grow, different things like that. Ultimately, we're going to have to continually stir ourselves up. That's why the Bible says, set your mind on things above. It's another way of staying, getting stirred up. A lot of times we don't need a new revelation. We don't need more powder. We just need to stir up the powder we have. You know what I mean? You know, it's kind of like when you put powder in there, it's like, wow, it's coming through and you're excited. And then it settles. All right. Well, you don't need more powder. You just need to stir up what you know. Stir up what you know. And I'll tell you what, God will give you more. But there is so much that we have in us already. And we just don't necessarily need the next book or tape or whatever. I mean, you might. God can lead and use that. But I mean, be sure, though, that you're stirring up on the inside of you what you got. Because you have amazing things on the inside of you. And it's just a matter of encouraging yourself in the truth. Encouraging yourself in those amazing promises of God. There's hope. Hope that can get you through stuff. One of my favorite little stories of hope. A guy named Eugene Lang, a self-made millionaire, he was asked to speak to a group of 59 sixth graders in East Harlem. Statistically, the majority of these kids would drop out of high school. As he was wondering how he would connect with this group of poverty-stricken, these were black Hispanic students, he scrapped his notes and just spoke from his heart. I mean, you can kind of picture this. He's up there, and he's got these students, and he's trying to figure out, how am I going to get through to these guys? And basically, as he's thinking about it and has his well-planned, prepared speech, whatever, he just basically took it, and he crumpled it out of the way, and he just said, look, guys, stay in school, and I will pay for your college tuition. So he did. End of speech. 90% of that class graduated high school and went on to college. And when they interviewed one of the kids, one student said, I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a golden feeling. It's amazing how hope can cause you to endure. Hope can give you perseverance when you know that you know that you know there's a promise of something. You know, there is an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, what is it that's getting me off my game today? There is a hope. There's a feeling. It's golden. Jesus said, why did Jesus do all that on the cross? Yeah, he died on the cross for our sins so that we could believe on him, not to start up a Christian religion. He said, ultimately, it's about one thing. He said, that where I am, you may be also. Reserved in heaven, a gift from God, the gift of salvation, a gift that is reserved for us. And so this morning, we're simply talking about encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Just a couple things. Number one, remember what God has already done. In other words, like the Hebrew writer says, recall to remembrance the former days when you were first illuminated. Recall that courage. Recall that strength. Remember the truths, the revelations, the insight that you got from God's Word. Go back and read your old journals. Get stirred up on some of the things that God has shown you, that He's already told you. Get confident in your own ability to hear from God, because you can and you're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. Get stirred up in that. Okay, Lord, here we go again. Not only that, but remember what God will do. Remember His promises. Remember what's waiting on you. I love the language of Peter. He says, this tent, I'm going to put off this tent. You know, when spiritual things are real to you, you know, the natural stuff is, it's there, but it doesn't consume your life. You know, spiritual things are amazing. Natural things come naturally. Profound, I know. Spiritual things come spiritually. More profundity. What does that mean, though? There's very little effort to get natural things. All you got to do is hook up to the spirit of the world. The Bible says the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. The world is swaying together. They don't even know they're the world. They don't even know they're swaying. It's just natural, normal. But when you're spiritual things, there's an effort to get spiritually minded, to get spiritually attuned, and spiritual things are real. And when you get spiritually minded, you begin to stir up by faith what's in you and get it in your mind and saturate your mind with those spiritual truths. Spiritual things become powerful. It's the big picture. It's the divine perspective of your life. You're here for a very short period of time, what the Bible calls a vapor. And when it's done, praise God, I'm going to my inheritance that was reserved for me in heaven. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul will close with this. Simply said, the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in you. Wow, what does all that mean? I don't know, but it's really, really good. I'm really looking forward to it. And it's something that I use to encourage myself in the Lord and get myself stirred up. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what we're going through, that we don't have to quit. We don't have to give up. We have cause. We have cause to look up and to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And Lord, we do that this morning. We on purpose recall to remembrance those former days. Certain inflection points in our life. Perhaps you delivered us from a situation. You showed us something wonderful out of your word, truth. A spiritual truth that has just stuck with us our whole lives. Lord, I pray that you would cause each one here this morning to remember those experiences. Those spiritual experiences, to recall those wonderful realities of the Spirit of God in their hearts. Lord, I also pray too that as we're looking forward, that we are not alone, but we look forward with the promises of God, with the goodness, with a hope, Lord, that endures. A hope that can cause us, Lord, to have the perseverance to overcome every trial, every tribulation, and to know, Lord, that You are for us. You are with us. Nothing can separate us from the love that You have for us. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I recall Your goodness in my life. There have been times You have clearly delivered me. There have been times You have clearly shown me things from Your Word. Revelation, illumination, supernatural insight, where I could see things. Lord, I look toward the future. There is an inheritance waiting on me. I'm encouraged because of what You have done and what You will do. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon Your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe, You love me. I receive that love now. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.